One day, he got into the boat with his disciples and said to them, "Let us go across to the other side of the lake." So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, "Master, Master, we are perishing." And he woke up and rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased, and there was a calm. He said to them, "Where is your faith?" They were afraid and amazed, and said to one another, "Who then is this that commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him?" Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasene, which is opposite Galilee. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Let us pray. May my words unite us with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Now, I suspect that some of you are wondering why, as one of the 16 landlocked counties in England, we're celebrating Sea Sunday. Now, this started in my mind some 10 years ago by a conversation with a sadly missed member of our congregation, David Capstick. Each year, he would remind me it was coming up and asked if we were going to celebrate it. I, of course, told him it was Father Wayne's decision, so passing the book. When I realised I was down to preach today, it seemed an ideal opportunity to pay tribute to all the seafarers, both present and past. And as I thought about it, I was reminded about my time with a priest friend in Falmouth, who was also chaplain to the Mission for Seafarers, it was seamen then, as well as parish priest to two parishes. The theme for today is peace in the storm. And we will look at the readings in a little while, but first, let me give some background to the information about seafarers. Starting with the fact that we are, despite what a lot of people think, an island nation. And this was borne out during the Second World War. Most of our food and armaments had to be imported. During what became known as the Battle of the Atlantic, where most of our needs were being shipped from the USA, we were dependent on the merchant navy running the gauntlet of the U-boat packs to deliver goods to help us survive. In that conflict, some 3,500 merchant ships and 175 warships were sunk, with a loss of 36,000 merchant sailors and a similar number of Royal Naval sailors. It could be said, but that was war. But come forward 80 years, and there's still loss of life at sea each year. I've discovered that over the past decade, there has been an average loss of 68 cargo ships every year. Now, if we assume there's an average of 30 workers on each ship, which isn't many when you think about it, that means there's been 2,040 souls per year lost at sea. Currently, there are approximately 1.9 million seafarers from every nation working tirelessly, sometimes at great personal cost, to bring us 90% of everything we consume. Now, I find the first reading we had from Psalm 107, although written about 500 BC, could easily have been written in the present day. Looking at the first line, "Some went down to the sea in ships, doing business on the mighty waters." Nothing's changed since 500 BC. That's what seafarers do every day. They go and do the business on the mighty waters. I must admit that my favourite line in the psalm, though, is the one that I can relate to. They reeled and staggered like drunkards and were at their wits' end. Been there, done that. I have a great admiration for those who work on the sea, when in a storm, with nowhere to go. With that in mind, I want to share with you some of the thoughts from our reading in Luke about what it means today for us sitting here and for seafarers worldwide when we read that Jesus meets the disciples' needs and calms a storm. Jesus is still in his early days of his ministry in Galilee and spent time with the crowds teaching them and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. A few days later, Jesus suggested crossing the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which would take them to the region of the Gerasenes. This would just have been another day in the following their teacher. Jesus, remember, most of the disciples were experienced, and I use the word experienced, fishermen. And this part of the Sea of Galilee is where they would have plied their trade. Suddenly a fierce storm arose out of nowhere. Due to the lake's geography, this wasn't an uncommon occurrence. And it was what you would call an occupational hazard for the fishermen turned disciples. Despite their seafaring experience, the disciples feared for their lives. While they may have seen such storms in the past, they didn't lessen the danger or severity of the storm they now faced. Yet, as we look towards Jesus' response, we find a different reaction. We read, "So they put out, and while they were sailing, he fell asleep. A windstorm swept down the lake, and the boat was filling with water, and they were in danger. They went to him and woke him up, shouting, 'Master, Master, we are perishing.' And he woke up, rebuked the wind and the raging waves. They ceased and there was calm. And he said to them, 'Where is your faith?'" Jesus started asleep, but when the disciples asked him, he woke up and calmed the storm. So what do we make of these series of events? It's important to remember that Jesus was never absent from the storm, but right there in the midst with the disciples. His lack of fear or worry was not due to the storm's severity, but to his assurance of his own identity. His ability to calm the storm demonstrated his authority over the natural world. As we think about the disciples in the boat, let us also think about present-day seafarers. Each year, seafarers have the challenging task of navigating treacherous waters, often facing dangerous weather conditions. Their ships can be caught in a storm that threatens lives, just as in our gospel reading. Yet, seafarers face not only literal storms, but also physical, social, emotional, and spiritual storms. But then, it's not just seafarers who face storms as well. Every one of us sitting here today will be going through a storm of some sort of nature, whether it be health crisis, both physical or mental, financial difficulties, relationship problems and uncertainties. We may not think of these as storms, but they are. You have feelings of anxiety and of hopelessness are common responses. Similar to the disciples, we feel panicked and overwhelmed. Yet we must ask ourselves where our help will come from. The disciples, though utterly afraid, knew that Jesus alone could meet their needs. The disciples went and woke him up saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Let's stop and think that for a moment. Jesus was present with them throughout the whole trip. Yet at this moment, they knew they needed to call out to him directly. We've just sang, "Will Your Hand Hold in the Storms of Life?" Now, most of us will know the importance of a good anchor on a ship. But what about our lives? If we look at the second verse, we see, "It is safely moored till the storm withstand, for 'tis well secured by the Saviour's hand. And the cables passed from his heart to mine can defy the blast through strength divine." The anchor for our life is Jesus. It's solid, unmovable, ever-present. How much of the time do we forget that? We either take it for granted, or worse still, we don't give it a thought. We trust in our own devices. When we face difficult times, it can often feel that Jesus is distant or disconnected from our trials and tribulations. However, like the disciples in the boat, we can be assured that he is present today, right with us, going through the storms, through the experiences that we are. For us, our security around us, friends, family, maybe colleagues, relatively easy access to help, we do not realise how fortunate we are. To the approximate 3 million seafarers stuck on the vast oceans of the world, delivering goods for the world's economy, their storms of life must be magnified because there's very little instant help. To highlight this, you may remember I said a friend was chaplain to seafarers in Falmouth. He was working with the port authorities because they'd impounded a Russian vessel for non-payment of port fees from various countries. The crew were not allowed to leave the vessel at all, and the only people allowed on were three Russian engineers, and in brackets, engineers. It was strongly believed that they were members of the KGB, making sure that nobody absconded from the boat, sent there to keep all the Russian sailors on the boat, and the non-Russians as well, because they were under a Russian flag. The only other person allowed on that boat was Simon, my friend, the chaplain. The one story that stuck with me about the crew, one of the crew had a 2.5-year-old youngster at home. But when he left, his wife was just 3 months pregnant. He was struggling with his own mental health and the fact he'd not been able to get home. He'd not seen his child. He'd not been there for the birth, and this child was now 2.5 plus. Simon, my friend, was working desperately to try and get the authorities, both here and in Russia, to allow him to return home. The last I heard, there was a possibility of him being allowed home, but he would never have a job again on merchant shipping. Too often we face difficult times. We can feel alone and abandoned. Yet it's in this moment that we need to remind ourselves that Jesus' presence is right here with us, ready and willing to help. We just need to do what the disciples did, cry out for help. Jesus challenges us every day to explore where we put our trust when we face various storms that come our way. It doesn't downplay the storms' severity for one moment, but instead ask us to consider who alone can overcome it. Maybe the question Jesus asked his disciples was also directed at us. Where is your faith? Amen.